It's The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent. Ahead today, we're figuring out how to stand out as a job candidate when so many people are looking for work. And you're part of this conversation. Are you in the job market right now? What are you trying to do to set yourself apart from other candidates? Maybe you're doing the work of multiple people at your workplace because they had to lay people off. How are you handling it? What questions do you have? You can call us now at 800-642-1234. You can also email your questions, your stories to ideas@WPR.org. We've got that conversation coming up in just a bit. Now it's time to hear from students on this special Wisconsin Life. We're talking about graduating during quarantine. Here's producer Maureen McCollum.
Many of Wisconsin's high school seniors have now graduated, capping off one of the strangest ends to a school year. The coronavirus pandemic led to the cancellation of in-person graduation ceremonies. Many of these rites of passage were moved online or postponed. That was no exception for seniors at MG21 High School in Monona, who held their graduation last week via Zoom. I talked with a few of the students who filled me in on what it was like to end their high school years online.
It feels great, but it's sad, I guess, for, like, the quarantine.
And it's kind of hard because all that kind of community building is kind of gone. We're just kind of, like, fending for ourselves.
Hi, I'm Matt Schlafer from MG21, and I am a musician.
I am Dante Murray from MG21. I am in the graduating senior class. I don't know. It's not the greatest.
I feel like it's just like a lack of motivation to do anything.
I'm Harrison Farnham from MG21, and I'm part of graduating class of 2020.
I wake up for about 4 hours each day, and then I go back to sleep. And in that 4 hours, I normally take a bike ride or go on a walk.
Hi, I'm Sierra Reeder. I'm a senior at MG21. I thought I didn't care. Like, my senior year, I was like, screw graduation. Like, I'm not going. Like, whatever. And now I'm like, damn, this is like a really important milestone that I never valued until coming up, you know?
I think that if you're not like the parent of a senior or like the teacher, it's hard to like understand why this is so hard for us right now. And like, it might seem like a really small thing, like, oh, they don't get to graduate together. Hi, I'm Tira Bird, and I'm a senior at MG21. We've spent, like, almost half of our lives in school. And, like, this was the moment that we were all waiting for and thinking of something for so many years and then getting down to it, and it's just, like, not what you expect, like, at all. It's going to be hard for anybody.
The MG21 seniors say there were specific things that they missed out on while ending the school year from home.
I was going to teach a class on writing to the middle schoolers. I was really looking forward to doing that.
I mean, I was hoping to go to prom.
I danced in my basement by myself.
I'm definitely missing out on all the just seeing people, hanging out with my friends, hanging out with the school.
Just like all the friends that I've made this year that I thought like I was never going to be friends with, but now it's just like, I don't know, might not ever see them again or like see them every once in a while.
I watched my older brother graduate and like that was cool, and I was like, dope, like I'm going to get to do that. And now I'm like, it's a Zoom, like I'm not with my friends, I'm not walking across the stage, I'm not shaking people's hands. I'm still like, I'm going to have my diploma, but it's not the same.
The MG21 seniors recognize that they're graduating during an historic moment. Keep in mind, most of these students were born right around 9/11, so this is one of their first shared traumatic before and after experiences.
I can't think of any other time, or my parents or my grandparents even can't think of any other time when the entire country's senior population didn't get to graduate normally.
You know, being a senior during this time, it's kind of weird, but I think it's going to be nice in the future when I can sit around with my future kids maybe and be like, this happened.
No, you can't skip school because you have a cold either with your pandemic.
Yeah, something like that.
Everybody is going through the same thing right now. Like, even if some people are having a harder time than others, and I'm here to support anybody that needs support.
Despite the challenges, the MG21 seniors have been doing things outside of school to keep their spirits up.
Yeah, I've been kind of occupied creatively. Now that I've started getting back on the horse, it feels better to write and play music.
Outside of the working at the grocery store, I play a lot of games with my friends, playing a lot of League of Legends.
Like I said, I've been going on walks and I've been playing through a game called Halo on a game mode called Lasso.
I go to like Governor's Island almost every day just to like sit and go by the water.
I try to go for a lot of walks and it's hard.
I think like me and my mom have grown closer over this 2 month time period because we're both not working. And, like, I don't know, if you're with a person all the time, you don't want to get on that person's bad side at all, because then it's just going to be, like, a tough 2 months for all of us.
The students at MG21 have a special relationship with the high school's teachers. The seniors had messages for them.
Just that they're doing a really good job of making us feel good and, like, making us not sad about this whole situation. I know that some of the teachers at MG21 have been, like, dropping off little gifts. Like, the first week was, like, a cupcake. The second week was, like, a plant with, like, this really cool meaning behind it. They're trying, like, really hard, and it's working. It's really working.
They are extremely nice. They've done so much for me, even now through all this stuff. It means so much to me that they're working their hardest like they always are. They're trying to make this the best of the worst situation.
You know, I'm really grateful that they're, you know, not just giving up and be like, all right, that's the end of, you know, the year, and that they're actually trying.
I guess it's just a big thank you because they made me the person I am today.
I'm going to miss you guys. I'm going to really miss the teachers. You guys taught me so much and have been with me every step of the way. Thank y'all for being my peers and my classmates, as well as really good friends of mine. We've always been resilient, so I feel like we'll find a way to make things better.
Those were the voices of high school seniors from MG21 in Monona, Wisconsin. Congratulations on your graduation, and to all of you in the class of 2020. Each of these students was featured on the Wisconsin Life documentary, Classroom Frequency, which aired last year and features the students' own stories. You can find that program at wisconsinlife.org. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum. And stay with us here on The Morning Show. During the 8 o'clock hour, we're talking with four teachers from across the state. We'll hear how they handled sudden distance learning, how they're wrapping up the year, and what comes next. We've got that conversation starting at 8 o'clock. Now, we're taking your questions about finding work. We're talking with an executive coach, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. How are you managing work-life balance these days? What do you want to know about standing out from the crowd when you are applying for jobs? And how are you thinking about your career trajectory now that times are more uncertain? That conversation is just ahead here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina. This is the Ideas Network. It's official. We are in the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression. And on Monday, the National Bureau of Economic Research said this is a recession. The panel who officially declares a recession notes we can see its effects across economic indicators, including employment. With millions looking for work, there's pressure on people looking for new jobs. And that's where our guest comes in here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent, and we're taking on your questions about what to do next when it comes to your career. There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. We're talking about whether tensions have resurfaced between you and your partner if you're dealing with pandemic-related work stress. How are you handling times when you have to go into work now and working with colleagues? Are you doing the work of multiple people because of layoffs? Maybe you've lost your job. Give us a call. Ask your question at 800-642-1234. Our guest is Monique Valcourt. She's an executive coach, management professor, keynote speaker, and a regular contributor to Harvard Business Review. She's also a faculty affiliate of the United Nations System Staff College. Monique, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you very much, Keely. It's a pleasure to join you.
Well, as job openings are maybe put on hold in some places, sometimes disappear altogether, how should job seekers think about altering their search?
Yeah, that's a great question because we are in a very unusual time. And I enjoyed just hearing the voices of your new graduates there. And I was thinking, you know, for people who are just launching their career in particular, it really is a pretty anxiety provoking time. So it may well be that people enter the job market through some side doors, maybe not with a traditional internship or a traditional, starting job or even some sort of a management training program. But I think that a lot of people, for instance, are easing into a new form of employment via some side gigs, via some project-based work, working through their connections, for example. I think one of the macro economic trends that we're going to see as the nation starts to ease out of this recession is employers increasing their usage of people in contract or non-standard positions. This is something that's been going on already for the last couple of decades, but it's a way that employers reduce their own risk. And it's, you know, it's good and bad for people in the job market because it means that employment may be less stable, may come without benefits, but it also provides some ways to access work and to begin to, it's also a good way to experiment if you're thinking of making a change. And to begin to build a portfolio of skills and experiences. So I think, approaching the job market, it has to be a multi-pronged approach of looking for job listings, but also talking to anybody you know who has an interesting job to find out about their work, their employer, making use of any services you have. If you're coming out of a university, for example, really getting to know those career services counselors so that you can make the full value of the services that they have to offer.
And let's talk about those new graduates then, because we're on that. We know that some businesses are pausing their internships or training programs for now. And I want to hear from Rebecca Perret. She's an associate dean of UW-Madison's Letters and Science Career Initiative.
So we have a situation where students are sort of waiting for further decisions to be made, waiting for a start date, or now, you know, the worst case scenario is they had an opportunity, it was taken away, and they are having to rapidly regroup.
Monique, when people are in that situation of suddenly finding that their path has changed, what's the first thing we should do?
Probably the first thing that we should do is to take a deep breath. An awful lot of young people are living in a really high state of anxiety currently. And it doesn't mean, you know, just to step back before I continue to answer this question, I'd just like to say that the way that I think about a career is as a lifelong self-designing experiment. And when you are at a transition point, starting a new job, leaving one, going to another, leaving formal education, et cetera, it can seem very much as though the next step is the pivot point of your entire career. And it never actually is because it's just one of many, many transitions that you will make. So I would say probably the first thing is just to take a deep breath, reassess a little bit, see what other, you know, go back and have a second look at maybe other things that you were considering and immediately relaunch the more active job searching activities that you had going on, continuing to reach out, to do informational interviews, to work through any contacts that you may have that can be warmer leads, anything you can do to be farther down the funnel in terms of applications, just responding to job postings and submitting a resume online is something that it's worth doing, but it is a pretty low success rate strategy just because of the number of applications that usually result from job postings. So anything you can do to move away from the widest part of that funnel to have a warmer introduction to a potential job is to your advantage.
We're talking to Monique Valcourt this hour. She's a career coach and a business management professor. We're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about handling a job search right now? Maybe you just graduated and your internship has been canceled. How are you navigating this change of plans? 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas@wpr.org. What if that internship has been canceled, Monique, but it was a really great one and it was going to be a good opportunity? I mean, you didn't get the training, but the acceptance means something. Should that show up anywhere on a resume or a cover letter? Or is that just not something that we can acknowledge anymore when applying for new opportunities?
That is a really good question. I've never actually heard that question before. I don't think that you can put onto your resume or your CV a job that you never filled at all. Mm-hmm. But certainly that is a point of conversation that you can make even in the cover letter, and certainly in conversations with potential employers that you happen to be on the market right now, because although you were looking forward to taking on this internship, the employer has had to cancel those. It indicates that you've been previously vetted by someone else, essentially. So I think that it can serve as a form of, credibility, but it's not something that you can put on your resume.
Certainly, but something you might be able to mention. So
right. And so maybe you can also, it's also a way of keeping staying in contact, I think, with the employer that offered you that is another way of nurturing a warm lead. Because even if they're not in a position at the current moment to be able to offer you that internship, it may well be that in 6 months or 12 months, they'll be in a economic position to be able to start hiring people, and you would want to make sure that they still have you at the top of mind. So, if you should be in that situation, I would say maintain your contact with the employer and, continue to let them know periodically that you still have your interest and that you've been acquiring additional skills in the meantime.
Keeping those warm leads available, as I think how you talked about it. But what about cold calls or messages on LinkedIn online? Is that something that online networking, something that people are open to right now, given the circumstances, or should we steer clear of that?
Networking is such an interesting topic for so many people. It's an incredibly uncomfortable activity, particularly the way that most people think about networking. It's interesting in my coaching work and the teaching that I do, I work with a very global population. So I think in the US, where probably the world's best networkers in some respects, and that we don't have a terrible sort of discomfort with reaching out, in other cultures, it is much more difficult. But nevertheless, certainly in the US, lots of people feel, it almost feels a little bit sleazy to reach out and to be contacting someone on behalf of yourself, even if you'd be very comfortable picking up the phone and calling someone to obtain a piece of information for your job. When you're the product, it suddenly it increases our vulnerability massively. So there may be times that reaching out cold on LinkedIn can work. But again, to kind of keep the theme on cultivating a warmer connection, I don't really recommend reaching out cold and asking about job opportunities, but what I do recommend is making use of informational interviews, because it feels very, very differently, both to the sender and to the receiver. You know, to receive, and you probably yourself in your own job, Keely, occasionally get a contact coming in from somebody who wants to know about the work that you do, or how did you get to the place where you are in your career right now. And I find that most people are fairly receptive to having a conversation with somebody that's on that topic. That's, let you know, a person wants to know about you a little bit, about your pathway, about what kind of advice you'd have, and it's not a person showing up saying, please, please, I need a job, can you help me?
Absolutely. We'll keep talking about this, Monique. Our guest is Monique Velcourt, an executive coach and a management professor. We're talking networking and also handling the stress at jobs as companies lay people off and putting your resume together as you're looking for work. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Our conversation continues here on The Morning Show right after the news. Last week, about 22,000 more people filed for unemployment in Wisconsin. The state reports nearly 10,000 more new claims have come in already this week. Hundreds of thousands of people in our state are receiving unemployment benefits, and that can seem like insurmountable competition if you're in the market for work. Thanks for joining us on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and our guest is a management professor and a career coach. We're taking your calls. Were you due for a promotion or a raise, but now you're afraid to ask about it because you know the pandemic is wearing companies thin? Maybe you just graduated and you don't quite know where to go next. Maybe you're doing the work of multiple people because of layoffs at your job. What questions do you have? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Monique Velcourt is an executive coach and a faculty affiliate of the United Nations System Staff College. And Monique, let's say we had a promising interview, a job seemed to be on the horizon, but then the pandemic hit. We haven't heard back from the hiring manager. Where do we go in that circumstance? How do you reach out without seeming too forward, too eager?
If you've had an interview, that absolutely gives you an opening to reach out and be in contact. It's always appropriate, especially if, you know, a little time has passed, to reconnect with your contact at the company and to reiterate your interest, your appreciation for having had the interview, and to inquire what the current status is. And I think particularly given that we're in this pandemic, you know, that gives even more impetus to just check in with them and see what's happening at present. Are they still hiring? What's their timeline? You know, is there anything else that you could provide that would assist them in evaluating you as a candidate? And again, to reiterate your interest.
What's the right way to have that conversation, though? I mean, how long do we wait to, if we don't hear back, do we continue to wait? Do we only have that conversation when we've had an interview? It's hard to tell in these circumstances what's okay.
Right. You know, I think the way to think about it is nurturing a positive relationship. I would wait, you know, maybe a week if you haven't heard anything. I think it's always good practice if you're actually having an interview to, at the end of the interview, ask what their timeline is and when, you know, can you expect to hear from them. And if that time that they've given you has passed, certainly go ahead and reach out. If it's been more than a week and that you didn't have a timeline, I think it's fine. And I would tend to contact via email the person that you have been in contact with and ask them, you know, your questions and reiterate your interest. And if you don't hear back again, you know, maybe give it another week and try checking in via phone, not putting pressure, but just saying, I just wanted to connect again. Just to, you know, let you know I'm still very interested, really appreciated meeting the people I met. And I was wondering if you could give me some sense of where you are with hiring. And if you haven't, as you said, had an interview, you certainly can nurture that conversation. And one way to make it a little bit more comfortable is, for instance, if you had a little, something had happened in the interim that now gave you a little bit more information to add to an interview question that you had been asked. For instance, you know, if they had, the company had been interested in you because of some experience you had had in the past and you had been working on a project that deepened your experience in that area, that would give you a natural reason to reach back out and to refresh them and just, you know, to say, I wanted to make you aware that this is what I've been doing in the meantime, and I now have learned, you know, X, Y, and Z that might be valuable to you.
You reframed the concept of career as lifelong self-designing experiments, and yet we are sitting in a position where if you've lost your job, you might be trying to figure out, do I settle for something, or do I work this other job part-time while I'm looking for something that's in my career field? Is there a right answer to those questions?
I don't think there's one answer that fits everyone. I think that, and this is part of why I personally find the notion of a lifelong self-designing experiment to be quite empowering. Because what this connotes is that you develop self-awareness, you pay attention to what's happening with yourself, you learn what it is that energizes you and what it is that drains you, and you use that knowledge to steer yourself forward. You know, so let's say, for example, you're working in a job where you're really miserable, you're feeling burned out, you have an overwhelming workload, and you really would love to leave and to get a different job, but you're just so exhausted, you can't really marshal the time or the energy or the self-confidence to present yourself effectively as a job candidate. You know, that's a tricky situation to be in, but noticing that, being able to make that assessment of, this is where I am, and to think, okay, what will happen if I just keep trying to hold on by my fingernails, or you know, what will happen if I'm able to go and have a few conversations with people who can give me some affirmation, can offer me some information, can help me with some different perspectives about how I might move forward in my career, and think, well, that would actually be quite energizing. So I will set something of my current load aside to make a little space for that. That can be really good. And in terms of settling, certainly I think, you know, I think that the unemployment rates that we're seeing are actually probably unnaturally low, because there certainly are plenty of people who are not in the job market right now, or people who might be underemployed, who have settled in some way. So certainly you can be working part-time, or you can be working as a gig economy worker and also looking for a traditional job, or you can be in a traditional job and you can be expanding and stretching your career a little bit by taking on some side gigs or doing some online study or, you know, developing some skill or some interest, doing some research in an area that appeals to you. So there are a lot of different ways to explore, to stretch, to investigate a little bit what might be next for you.
Monique Valcourt is an executive coach and also a professor, and we are talking about career advice at this very unique time, and we're also taking your calls at 800-642-1234. We've got Joe from Ashland who wants to join the conversation. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Say, I agree with some of the stuff that your guest just said, but I dealt with a problem with my brother a few years ago, and it's kind of falling in lines with what I see in the generational flux of today. Is that he was broke, lost his job, didn't have any money. I said, there's McDonald's is hiring, Holiday gas stations hiring, job flipping burgers is hiring. Well, I can't do that, is what he says. You know, being that he says, I asked him if he was too good for that. He said, yeah, absolutely, I'm too good for that. But yet you don't have any money coming in. I think a lot of the problem nowadays with this pandemic especially is that, yes, the job market is having issues, but it's the premium job market that's having issues. The jobs that pay $15, $20, $30 an hour and have great benefits. That's where the problem is. Not in the lower paying jobs, because there's job openings just in just about every business. as you go up and down Main Street America, whether it be Holiday Station, Quick Trip, McDonald's, whatever.
Sure. Yeah, Joe, thanks for that perspective. I mean, we know grocery stores, manufacturing warehouses have been hiring in this time when there are more demands, Monique. So what about these, I guess, what Joe is pointing to, maybe jobs that would pay you a lot less or expose you more to the COVID-19, and people aren't necessarily taking them. Should we be?
Right. I guess that probably depends upon, you know, what your financial situation is. I think that there are things that you can learn from any job. And I think it's important to really define career success and success in general for yourself. So it may well be that there are people out there who are unemployed, and there are jobs in their vicinity that they could be hired for, and they're not seeking those jobs because it doesn't, you know, the jobs don't match with their own self-conception of what kind of work they should be doing, or people, you know, in their family think, ah, you're better than this, or something of that nature. So, I mean, if you are unemployed and you don't happen to have a pile of cash in the bank to tide you through, yeah, I would certainly advise people to seek employment, even if it's not what they were, you know, if it's not their ideal job. Because as I said, I think there, you know, there's always something that you can learn about work. I mean, when I was, you know, young and a student, I worked as a bank teller for a while. That was not terribly interesting, but it taught me a little bit about the workplace, about what kinds of things I liked and didn't like. And it certainly was the source of a lot of anecdotes that I've used later on. So, you know, it's interesting, though, it's sort of perspective on different generations. And are there certain people of certain ages who, you know, who feel entitled to a certain type of job, et cetera? I hear almost in Joe's story a little bit of kind of wanting to get just, you know, Buddha's brother out of the house and get him out there working. But I do think it's important to open ourselves more broadly to a range of both types of work and different types of employment engagements, whether that is, you know, full-time, part-time, gig economy, or maybe even doing some volunteer work that is valuable in raising your skill set.
Sure. Things you didn't necessarily think that you would be doing at this point. We've got Monique Valcour here, who's an executive coach and a professor with the United Nations System Staff College. And we're taking your calls about work. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Are you experiencing burnout at your job right now? What question do you have about that? Maybe some old tensions have resurfaced because you're working at home or dealing with pandemic-related stressors. What question do you have? How are you managing your work or your job search right now? Call 800-642-1234, still time for you, or email ideas@WPR.org. Our conversation continues here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and this is the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. We're talking with Monique Valcour, executive coach, management professor, speaker, and a writer for Harvard Business Review. And we're discussing how to stand out as a job candidate and also how to handle the stress of having a job despite this uncertainty. Have you lost your job? Maybe you're just looking to make a career move now, or are you just getting out of school and thinking, what on earth do I do now? Still time for your call at 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Monique, asking for a raise or a promotion can already be pretty hard for some workers. These leaner times make it feel harder. Like, we know companies are under stress. What's the best way to approach our supervisor about something like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that any time you are making contributions to your employer, you're really adding value, and particularly if it's been a while since your last raise or your last promotion, that it is a good time to approach them. And again, on this notion of defining success for yourself, I would advise people to avoid framing this as a very binary choice on the employer's side, that either you give me a raise or I'm offended, or either you give me a promotion or I'm offended. There are many different ways for you to be more well rewarded, to bring your work into greater alignment with your interests, with what you enjoy, with your skills. So the way that I would approach this is to think about the ways in which you contribute at work. What's the value that you bring? You might do things like, you know, try and add up sort of your objective achievements. This is something I actually recommend that people keep track of on a weekly basis. Just what are the things that I've gotten done at work? What is the positive feedback I've received? Are there any kind of quantitative indicators of what I have contributed, so that you can really have a sense that is fairly objective and supported with some kind of evidence of how you contribute? And that can also include things like the types of comments that and feedback that you get from clients and from colleagues and from your boss, so that you are then able to, you know, it's not just a matter of saying I want more, or I feel like I need more money, but here's how I'm contributing. I'm really excited about the contributions that I'm making here. I look forward to continuing to contribute and to learn and to grow with this organization. And I feel that what I'm doing here merits an increase. Or certainly if your company has any sort of active kind of gender parity type of initiative, or, you know, pay transparency, that might give you an opportunity to review how well compensated you are versus other people with similar profiles, and see if there's a fairness argument that could be made that is in line with what the company is, espouses in terms of how they like to reward people. But aside from, you know, monetary raises or promotions, there are other things that you could think about, like, are there ways for you to have more learning opportunities? Are there ways for you, are there certain projects that you'd like to be involved in, or, certain tasks or activities you'd like to be engaged in at work that would help you to learn and that would be interesting to you? Or maybe it's something like, you know, you have a little side gig, you teach a fitness class 2 mornings a week, and you'd like to make sure that your supervisor is on board with that, with you coming in an hour late on those 2 days, so you can fit that in. You know, that might be part of the conversation. So there are a lot of different ways to think about how can I make my job more rewarding for me and support my ability to continue contributing. And so the key thing is that you want to base your discussion with your supervisor in terms of positivity, in terms of your engagement and your value. So the more that you are aware of your value and how you contribute, the more compellingly you can make that case.
Monique Valcourt is an executive coach, also a management professor, and we are talking about career advice that we can take during the pandemic. And Monique, you want us to stay positive when talking to our managers, and yet sometimes people are taking on the work of others who aren't available because they have, family commitments, or there are layoff situations. So what should we do if we're doing the work of multiple people and it really is just too much? You don't want to say, I can't handle this, especially when you feel like the job market is uncertain. But you also, mm-hmm. I mean, are we just supposed to take on more and be okay with it? I worry that that might become the new normal.
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's remarkable how many of the people I coach report having pretty frequent sense of overwhelm at work. And this is not an individual problem. So it's so important to, you know, do whatever you can to cultivate a relationship with your supervisor where you can speak honestly and openly, and to also work with your colleagues and team members. It's usually a lot more powerful to address workload issues as a group than as an individual. But I would say if you're starting out as an individual, you know, let's say you have had a colleague laid off and now you have that person's workload added to your own, that you want to be really in contact with your supervisor to talk about, you know, here's what I'm working on. Let's make sure that we have our priorities aligned. And instead of saying, you know, sometimes if you just feel like you've got too much, rather than saying that I can't handle this, you might want to say, look, today, you know, or this week, we've discussed, say, these three projects. Now, given my the amount of time I have available, I can focus on two of them. So let me know, you know, tell me where would you like me to place my priority? You know, so bring your colleagues and your supervisor into the conversation. Hopefully, if you're working in a team setting, hopefully you communicate regularly as a team with meetings or more informally via Slack or something about, you know, what your collective capacity is for work and how you can all work together most efficiently. Are there ways to redesign work processes, for example, to take out some of the, you know, if there are some bureaucratic or some cumbersome steps, are there ways to streamline? Are there ways to make sure that information gets passed around such that, you know, people have it right when they need it? And then you may also need to, you know, set some boundaries yourself. And this is really tricky, particularly with everybody working at home. You know, but you might just want to find you're going to be healthier if you do turn off your phone at 6 o'clock in the evening or something. And if you're supervising other people, it is really important to be a role model for a healthy and sustainable way of working. Even if you are a person who likes to work really late at night or on the weekends, you know, that's when you like to bang out a whole bunch of emails. It is far better to send those emails out during regular work hours than in the middle of the night. Because if you do that, you're sending the message to other people that they should be doing the same thing too. Even if you're not saying they should, it's still, you know, that's the model that you're setting.
There's that pressure when you're a part of a team, too. You want to help your colleagues, and yet you watch what they're doing, and you want to make sure that you're up to the task.
Exactly.
All right. We have gone through some really incredible career advice now. I feel like hopefully people are more equipped when they're looking at their circumstances. Monique, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate your insight.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me back.
Certainly. Monique Valcour is an executive coach, also a management professor. She's a keynote speaker and a regular contributor to Harvard Business Review. She's also a faculty affiliate of the United Nations System Staff College. And we've been talking about how to handle your career right now when there's uncertainty in the markets, whether you've lost a position or there's job stress, or maybe you're a recent graduate. So certainly you can hear this conversation again. If you want to listen to it, just go online to WPR.org/mornings. Then you can take notes. Up next, we are having a conversation about what it looks like for people facing evictions in Wisconsin during this pandemic. We're talking to an attorney here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and these conversations are happening right here on the Ideas Network.